in case you missed it on Newsbreak.
And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to Newsbreak Talk today on Saturday at 12 o'clock. It's Tareesh Haripashad today bringing you a very important conversation. It's the one you've been waiting for. It's the one you've been talking about a lot. And it's the one that has got everybody's attention this week, hasn't it? That conversation with Duduza Nezuma, who's joining us today live in studio for an exclusive conversation. I'm not going to waste any time then. Let's go straight into it, because surely we have a lot to speak about and we have a lot to go through today. So let's welcome him to the program. Duduza Nezuma, thanks so much for your time today.
Namaskar, kenche, salams, or what kind? How are you doing?
So yeah, no, it's great that you've done so much of research on I think language is very, very close to the Indian Ocean community. I think they appreciate that. But yeah, no, it's wonderful. I wanna say this though. It's a clarion call across the entire nation, and I see you smiling a lot about this, Duduza, because you take this as a real privilege for yourself.
Yes, sir.
I think it's been a year and a half since I've had another human in the studio to talk to. So that's definitely a really cool experience.
It's a positive milestone. I'm happy that this is happening today with my presence in the studio. So I'm happy to be part of that milestone. Thank you very much for having me, and greetings to your listeners.
Yeah, wonderful. So yes, we're in conversation today with Duduza Nezuma. He's going to be talking to us about a lot of things. We've got a lot on the agenda here to connect with, to take forward, dissect, unpack, all of that. So I will inform you though that today we're not doing voice notes simply because we're going to be doing it on a text basis, so you can text me whatever question, any question you have, your comments, your thoughts, your engagement with Duduzane. Definitely, we're going to provide you that platform today with regard to it. So just send through your text messages and we'll take it forward. I'll remind you that, looking forward to hearing everybody. Already, we've got Marcy Ben saying, wow, Kemcho, it's great to hear that you're speaking in my language. So definitely, we'll keep that conversation facilitating in that way. So yes, it's Newsbreak Talk. I'm Tareesh Haripashad. We're in conversation with Duduza Nezuma.
The views and opinions expressed on Newsbreak Talk do not represent those of SABC News or Lotus FM.
So yes, let's begin that conversation. I think, Duduza, busy time it's been, you know, for every South African who, you know, has a voice right now, every South African wanting to take stock of where the country is and talk to me about this really precarious time South Africa finds itself in.
No, I think it's precarious is one description, but I think with every crisis, and I think this is the way we need to look at it as South Africans, is what has happened. There's been a lot of negativity, there's been a lot of unrest, yep, anxiety, a lot of people are angry, and rightfully so. With the events of the past few weeks. But I think once we've taken stock, we need to realize that the only way we're going to get through this is by joining hands, working together. And not, you know, not from a lip service basis, but from an active, action, pragmatic perspective. So I see it as an opportunity, because there's been a lot that has been highlighted and spotlighted in a negative manner. If you look at the issues of poverty, race relations, amongst a few other things, I think these are things that we need to understand are there, they exist, and we need to deal with them and deal with them decisively. So the opportunity is for us to learn from what has happened as an event in our recent history, and to build up from there.
Yeah. Do you think South Africans have been learning, though, in the past, you know, couple of weeks? Unrest has been high on the agenda, from, you know, looting, it changes to racism. What have South Africans been learning in this week, specifically from the ones you've been engaging with?
No, I think the main lesson that a lot of us would have learned is, unless we acknowledge the issues that exist as they exist, we're not going to move forward. Yeah. So I think as much as there may be all the negativity in the air from a racial imbalance, inequality speaking, the poverty which we spoke about, We have the unemployment issue. We have the lockdown, which has further exacerbated the situation we find ourselves in. I think the acknowledgement of society, the acknowledgement of key role players, whether it be community leaders, business leaders, government leaders, is that we need to deal with these problems differently, because the way we've been doing dealing with them clearly has not been working. So I think acknowledging the mistakes, acknowledging the issues as they stand in reality is the first point. And I think that's what a lot of people are slowly coming around to.
Yeah. Let's talk about you, Duduzane, because I think you've really been in the mix in the past couple of weeks and, you know, very clear and very, and rightfully so. I mean, he's your father, right? Former President Jacob Zuma, incarcerated to serve his contempt of court sentence. Arguably, that's not something you think a 79-year-old man should be doing right now.
That's correct. And I think if I may just touch upon one or two points. Firstly, just the way it shaped up. It was contempt of a commission of inquiry, which was part of a process into getting to the bottom of whatever was happening at the time. And he took the stance he took. And I always use the example of myself when it comes to legal issues, where people have always thought I've run away from my issues. I've come back, I've faced them. I've been to two levels of courts. I've been to Magistrates Court. I've been to the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court in Johannesburg. I've been to the very same Commission of Inquiry. And even the way things were dealt with, I raised, obviously, through my legal team, I raised my concerns with the way that I was being dealt with. But I took it head on because that's the kind of person I am. Others have different ways of dealing with the judicial issues. And he's been accused of being Stalingradist in his approach, and he plays a long game. That's his way of approaching his defense. Then that's his way of approaching his defense. People have got different ways of doing stuff. But that being said, contempt of the commission, I don't think is something that should carry that level of harshness from a sentence perspective.
Yeah. I think before we take that one forward, Duduzane, you appeared before that commission and you spoke your truth, and you know, you've said various things there. At any point, did you and your father talk about, Dad, why didn't you go?
No, these are conversations that I think a lot of people have with him. And
what did he say?
Look, from his side, when it comes to his defense, his legal issues, I mean, this is something that he holds close to his chest as per his outlook on whatever's happening in relation to the accusations. So it wasn't a situation where it was like an open-ended conversation, like, you should do this, this is the approach, these are this is the legal system, and these are the laws and acts that you can use in your defense, constitutionality, and so on. The simple conversation is, look, this is me, this is what I'm going to do. Why don't you do the same? And he's like, look, I've got my own plans, I've got my own issues to deal with. These are long-standing historic issues, so it's not as simple as maybe yours are at this point.
Yeah. So he said he's got his own plans and his own approach to this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Obviously that was not in line with the Constitutional Court, though, the highest court in the land, which is why they mete out the contempt of court sentence that you say is incorrect, that you say is, has not followed due process. But surely then it's not in line with the rule of law. So from that perspective, how then do you continue to criticize the Constitutional Court ruling?
I think from my side, I'm not criticizing, this is from my side, the Constitutional Court ruling, even though I'm against his current incarceration. The only criticism I have, and I speak from my own experience, is there's processes and procedures that need to be followed. That's all I'm coming from a constitutional basis. So as much as people want to talk about constitutionality and him facing whatever issues he's facing, and that goes to anyone else, there's also the right to defense. So that's coming from a personal personal level of having these Bill of Rights protecting oneself. So yeah. I'm coming from a position where the Constitutional Court is the apex court in the land. What happened to the steps preceding to that judgment? There were steps that were skipped. There's certain courts that were skipped. If you look at the contempt, it was contempt of a commission of inquiry. A commission of inquiry is an inquisitorial body. That commission of inquiry will make recommendations either for prosecution or non-prosecution.
Mm.
The commission of inquiry hasn't wrapped up.
Yeah.
Yes, there was discussions. NPA came through and they were doing prosecutions within the life of the commission, we get all that, but I'm just saying from a constitutional perspective, the right to a fair trial did not happen. That's where I'm coming from. The merits, demerits, that's for another day, but today is just like basically the process and procedures.
Yeah, but they gave him opportunities to appear, though, and he just didn't take them.
Yeah, but this is within his right, like I said, within how he proposes on defending himself. That's if that's the long game that he's going to play, that's his long game. He's got the right to do so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since then, I mean, you know, and former President Jacob Zuma then does end up behind bars, and South Africans take to the streets, Zuma supporters take to the streets, and they say they want him out, and those protests turn really ugly. A lot of people have, you know, linked the beginning of those protests, the call for South Africans to go out there and make their voices heard, to your sister's Twitter account, Sambutla Zuma. As a family, how do you deal with that? When people suggest that, wait a second, children of former President Jacob Zuma, you ask people to go out and loot.
Yeah. So my view is very simple. Just to respond to the first part of your question, I think the protests that broke out in the beginning were protests that were pro his release, pro Jacob Zuma's release. And once again, people have the right to protest. This is their belief, their ideological standpoint, for whatever reason, right or wrong, they have the right to do so. But I always pose this question when it comes to the unrest. If Jacob Zuma was arrested and we're sitting in a period of the lockdown being at zero, so no lockdown protocols in place, do we think that it would have turned out the way it turned out from an unrest perspective? It's a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it. I don't believe so. And the reason I'm saying that is there's been preceding elements of issues in our country, poverty, unemployment, that do not boil down to the past 1 month leading up to his arrest. That's a historic issue. The issues of racism that are derived from what happened in the past few weeks cannot boil down to what happened in the past few weeks. There's a history of it. We can go back over 100 years. I mean, it's open for debate.
Yeah, yeah. So you got a question. What was the catalyst then to spark such an unrest and disunity and I think an anger in South Africa? And again, many are saying that the comments that came through from you and your sister fueled that. I mean, you said looters should loot responsibly.
All right. So let me just touch upon that and you'll give me a few minutes to clear that up, because I think that's very important and I appreciate the question. Firstly, anyone that's not in the studio, I'm not going to answer on their behalf, whether it's my sister or anyone else. I'm not mandated by them. I don't represent them. I'm not their spokesperson. They can speak for themselves. I can only speak for what I know and what's under my control. So I'll speak for myself. And once again, whoever's found wanting must face the full might of the law. That's not open for debate. From my side, I've mentioned many times. So there are three things that have happened in my understanding, just from the outside looking in. One is a supposed social media, a Twitter account specifically, that's purported to be my Twitter
account. It's not, is you saying it's not yours?
It's not mine. I'm not on social media. I have not been on social media. I'm not on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, WeChat, and LinkedIn, whatever exists out there.
Yeah. Can't you report it to Dizane and get that account to be stopped if you say it's not yours and you've got no connection with it?
So that's happened a few times. So if you look at the reporting mechanisms, it happens in two ways as per advice that was given to me. One, you report it. So if there's a fake account, you report it. But I mean, that becomes a grueling, tedious task, because you'll be reporting accounts 2-3 times a week, because you shut it down. There's plenty of other accounts that open up, parody accounts, fake accounts, whatever it is. So people have reported, and that Twitter account has not shut down. I'm talking about people that are active on Twitter. The other way is for me to get involved in social media, which would lead to the blue tick, the verification. And that's a process, a 3-4 month process of posting whatever statements and imagery, so, you know, that people can realize that, you know, this is actually the person, because whatever's being posted is real, it's relevant, it's current. And I'm not on social media for the reason that I don't want to be on social media, so I'm not going to take that route.
Yeah, so when it comes, but still those comments reach the domain then.
All right, that's fine. But now if we have such inflammatory comments, and this is my question to you, sir, is we've seen people's accounts being shut down globally. for inflammatory comments, for insightful comments. Why hasn't this one been shut out? It's not my responsibility. Twitter could have easily just pulled the plug on it. That account's been in existence for at least 4 years. I've been on numerous interviews, TV, radio, podcasts, print. I've spoken about this account. Not now, years ago. Nothing happened. I've been on the sidelines of my court appearances. I've mentioned to journalists, and they know it's not my account. They've tweeted at that time, years ago, that fake account. My legal team has put out statements, and they responded to media saying fake account.
Yeah.
I'm talking about years ago, leading up to this point.
Yeah.
There's the online publication, I think Daily Maverick, they did a deep dive into this specific account a year and a bit ago. And they'd linked, well, they'd investigated, and I didn't ask them to do that because they're always writing negatively about me anyway. So they were not doing me any favors, but they did a deep dive. The Twitter account and handle linked to the IP address, and they found a gentleman's name. And that gentleman, they have his name, they know, they have his background. And they still report him.
So you say, it's being worked on, Dudizane.
Yeah.
What was very clear was video footage of you in a long plea about your thoughts, and the nation zeroes in on something very irresponsible that you said, because it is irresponsible.
No, it's not irresponsible. Why do you say it's irresponsible?
For you, when you tell a group of looters who have really caused a great deal of unrest in South Africa to loot responsibly, you're saying that's responsible.
Okay, if you look at what's happening and we'll zone
is it
down,
responsible?
If you look at what's happening in Phoenix right now, the people that are dead who are supposed looters, correct? What's happening now? Everyone's backtracking, people are protesting, and whatever else is going on. These were looters and criminals, as per me saying irresponsible. Why isn't anyone talking about that?
I think a lot of people are talking about that situation.
And I won't call it a plea, but my response to it was, and if you listen to what I was saying, preceding to that statement. So first of all, that video came out on day 4 or day 5 of the unrest. And what I was saying was, I spoke about three things in this video that was put out.
Mm.
And that was me trying to clarify issues. One, and I mentioned, I was denouncing the violence and the looting and the destruction to property and vandalism. And I was categorically stating that I'm not responsible for it. So that came out in the video, those two points.
Yeah.
Leading up to that point, I spoke about armed militias, the groupings that were protecting their communities, their properties, their businesses, their families, which I said, you've got the right to do so, if you remember well. And I said, I was part of those community policing forums. I was in Newlands East at the time, defending the front line, at a point where people were looking at me and saying, hey, what are you doing? I'm saying, no, this is not about me being whatever color I am. This is about an amenity that is available to everyone. And if it gets destroyed, that's a problem for everyone, including the very same looters. And I said, looting is a criminal act.
Yeah.
100%. I support people that need to protest for their rights and protest for their levels of desperation. So when I was saying that, I said to the people bearing arms, do so responsibly. I said that. Then directly after that, I went into the criminals and the protesters. And the reason why I said that is, it's very easy for all of us to stand here and say, this is an us and it's a them situation. Us, the people that are protecting what we have, and them, these criminals that have nothing.
Yeah.
So all out, the point I was trying to make is, as much as there's been issues on both sides of the divide, I'm not defending criminality and looters. All I'm saying is, as much as you guys are looters, you're moving around. This is what you're doing. It's not me that told them to go do it. It's happening. Remember that you are in danger as well of harm. So I'm saying, as much as you're doing that, and this is the point I was trying to make, as much as you're doing that, the looting, do so responsibly.
Don't you think a better thing to have said to them would be stop looting, because that was illegal?
What is looting? The definition of looting is?
I'd say it's theft.
It's 100% is. That's what they're doing. It's happening.
So could you not have called for them to stop thieving?
But I've been doing that. You guys took a 7-second clip out of an 11-minute video where I spoke about a whole host of things, and you guys zoom in on that 7 seconds? Come on, people. Let's be serious.
So I think the point then that rose from that was, as Duduzane Zuma, emerging with such a strong social and political voice right now, you need to be careful about what you say, even if it's just 7 seconds.
There's another video, but then, have you ever been quoted out of context before, sir? On anything?
I think to ask a journalist that perhaps could be incorrect because we try our best to be politically correct.
You're taking the high road and then now you expect me to also not take the high road. So what I'm saying is this is not the first of many times that I've been quoted out of place. It happened with another video. We are speaking about resetting, redistributing, and rebuilding. Taken out of context because that was another video making the round. It's like, he preempted it.
Yeah.
And this is what the message is trying to put across. That video was shot months ago.
Yeah.
And the reason for that video was me getting messaging across because I was asking from certain youth groupings in South Africa, black groupings, who wanted a message on what needs to be done. And that message, that was probably about a 4 or 5 minute messaging, that certain piece was however many seconds, once again, that was taken out of context. And I was speaking to young black youth saying, guys, if you want to be taken seriously, you need to take yourself seriously because no one else is going to take you seriously unless you take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
So in order for us to do that, we need to reset, redistribute, and rebuild. And the messaging was along the lines of speaking to youths to change their mindset. Reset the way you think. Reset the way you engage other people within your communities and other groupings. Redistribute. People just automatically think it's a land issue. It wasn't a land issue. It was about redistributing the wealth and how we can get involved in economic activities.
Because
that's part of what needs to be done. And that's part of what I'm talking about and moving forward and I'm going to get done. And then finally, rebuilding is rebuilding our morale and our social standing. Rebuilding our country, not just the destruction, and it was way before it happened now, but rebuilding our key institutions, policing, military, healthcare. That's what I was talking about. They took that completely out of context. So being misquoted is a real thing.
Yeah. Dudizane, since that time,
yes, sir.
Misquoted, you have put an entire 12-minute video. That's, like you say, that's 7 seconds zeroed in upon. The damage it's done to your reputation. What have you done to salvage it?
So my reputation has been tarnished for many years, almost week in and week out. I've been accused of state capture. I've appeared before the courts. I was accused of being a fugitive living in Dubai. I came back. I faced the courts. I'm being accused of promoting looting. People forget that I put out a video a year ago to the UKZN students when buildings were being burnt down, their libraries and key buildings of officials were being vandalized. I flew all the way back specifically for that reason. And the point I'm trying to make is I've been playing my part. I can't go from one end where people want to be selective and cherry pick on what it is that I do. I'm here to be part of the solution. I continue to do so. So when it comes to this point, people have got this impression that I'm public enemy number one. And over time, they realize that's not the case.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why I say the amount of energy that's put into tarnishing my name by making these accusations and asking me all these sorts of questions that try to put me in a corner and paint me as a bad guy. I hope people take that sort of that exact type of energy when people realize that I had nothing to do with it. I was no part of it. Police investigation or not, I'm not concerned. They keep talking about arresting people. I'm looking forward to see who these people are. And if I'm one of them, it's going to give me a chance, or once again, to clear my name. I've been wrongfully arrested before. Are you aware of that, sir?
Yeah.
I was paraded in shackles. No one wants to talk about that. There was no charge. I was not supposed to be arrested. I'm still waiting for that response. No one has given me that response. So it's a two-sided equation here, guys.
Yeah.
We need to be careful on how we engage these matters, because if I'm innocent, I'm innocent. The fact that you think or you want to believe that I'm guilty, that's not my problem. And that's not the way I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
The burden of proof is on the accuser. No one's proving anything. Allegations, I mean, these things are happening all the time. And we'll wait and see. So my reputation and my good name over a period, I will rebuild it because people know who I am and understand what I'm about. I have no issues.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to that. I think you've touched on some points that I do want to take forward with regard to state capture, with regard to, I think, rule of law even. And yes, I definitely want to know about your political ambitions, but I'm going to bring it back now to your father. And I think he's unwell right now, gone through for some routine medical checkups. Have you connected with him? Have you spoken with him?
I have not. I'm not in contact with him. Everything that I'm seeing at the moment would be secondhand via the media and also via family members that may be following up on his movements and his developments. If I have the opportunity, I will definitely love to see him. I understand that he's in, I'm not sure where he is, but they say he's in in Pretoria. I don't know. I still need to fact check that.
Yeah.
But he's obviously deteriorated over a period of time. He's a 79-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, besides old age, I mean, his body reacts to certain things differently at that age, especially when it comes to care, adult care and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, are you concerned about his plea bargain coming up for Tuesday?
At this point, the way I look at it is I do not concern myself with it because I always prepare myself for the worst. I don't have my hopes high. When it comes to legal matters, it's legal matters. The decisions will be made by the people that need to make those decisions, and we'll take it from there. There's a 15-month prison sentence, and the parole comes up in 3 months and 3 weeks. He's into, the third week of his incarceration at the moment. So worst case, he's going to be out in 3 months. Hopefully, nothing happens to him. Hopefully, he comes out in good health. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. No one knows what is going to happen.
Mm.
And you know, when it comes to that sort of thing, you know, I'd wish that they'd taken him to court because maybe they would have found him guilty and they'd given him 15 years instead of 15 months. You know, that's the flip side to the equation.
Yeah.
So just give the man a fair chance.
Yeah.
Sure.
What are your preparations then for Tuesday? He is expected, you know, to present his case for that plea bargain. Yeah. What are your preparations for that?
But for me, it's not for me to prepare. He's the one that has to prepare. It's his court case, and he's dealing with those issues with his legal team.
Mm-hmm.
From my side, it's just to support in the best way I can.
Are you going to be there?
I hope to be there. I'm not sure what the rules and regulations are against in the court precinct.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the COVID protocols and the numbers and that sort of stuff. So once it gets closer to the time and I have a better idea, I'll make a call, but I'd love to be there.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the appearances of your father, specifically at court, and as we've seen with his incarceration, the hordes of South Africans that love him and support him come out in their numbers, whether to protest, whether to support, whether to just, you know, show solidarity. We've come from a time of looting. We've come from a time of tense protests in the past months. How do you then keep track of what could emerge outside of court or around the country whenever your father makes a court appearance? I think one needs to be informed. And I wonder how informed are you of the Zuma supporters and what they're likely to do?
All right. So from my understanding, just historically, of his support is he's obviously got some good support that believe in him and rightfully so for various reasons. I think it's an unknown. It's not an unknown because of the situation at hand, but it's an unknown because of people's emotions. As much as people want to see him locked up. as much as people want to see him locked up, sorry, that just jumped into my...
Yeah, we play Hindi music here. Yeah. You can't sing that. Indian music.
As much as people want to see him locked up, there are people that want to, and that ride for him and want to see him outside of prison. So, you know, it's people that on the other side of the argument that love him and respect him for whatever reason, they want to see him, they want to see him out. So if you look at a lot of the information, misinformation, and we've seen it happening now, the voice notes, voice clips, messaging being taken out of context, not just me, but a whole host of other people.
Yeah.
Inflammatory messaging making the rounds. I think we all need to be careful and conscious because everyone is anxious. I mean, the results of the previous few weeks is something that is not ideal. No one wants to see the level of destruction. Everyone would like to see us moving forward from this point, but we also need to understand that we ourselves need to keep an eye on it, and we can't just keep pushing out information that's false because there's a lot of false information. We've seen videos of attacks that have happened in other countries, and you can see by some of the language or even some of the dress code of law enforcement agencies, not even in South Africa, people are like, hey, what's going on here? So, you know, I always boil it down to the love doctrine. This is something that I was taught when it comes to making a decision for ourselves. You know, L-O-V-E, the acronym. So the L standing for listen. We need to listen to each other. We need to listen to the information and make sure we take it in. Now, that's the first point. The O in love is observe. Observe the scenario, observe body language, and you know, just from a human intelligence perspective, observe the situation for what it is and try and best grasp that. The V is to verify, which I think is what a lot of people, if not everyone, is missing, is verification. You need to verify the information that's in front of you, because all we do is you see it pop up on our news alerts and it's gospel. Take some time, research it, pull up a book, Google it if you have to, speak to someone and say, yo, what's the situation? Is this true? Is it not true? And then once you've done that, then it's the E, you need to empathize. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. Try and understand what is going through their minds in this situation, whether it be a protester slash looter, or whether it be a policeman who's on the front line and yeah. how he reacts.
Yeah.
And then once you've tallied that up and then you get to your own sum total, then from there it puts you in a position to make a better decision.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
a lot of people are missing that.
Duduzane, halfway through it, and I've given you that time to really speak your story and you know, talk about what your sentiments are, what's in your mind and your ethos. Now it's time for people to talk to you because they really want to. So we're going to go to our Lotus FM WhatsApp line here on Newsbreak Talk. Now that you know what Duduzane has to say and all these points that we've spoken to him about, whether it is comments on looting, whether it is his relation with his father specifically during the court cases going on now, still more to come, don't you worry, we still have some time to unpack a lot of that. But to the questions we go, and you know, you touched on this, Duduzane, and here's Zahir Danbar of Phoenix says, if you or your family are responsible or accountable for whatever happened in protests in Durban, and more specifically what led to the division created between blacks and Indians in Phoenix, you know, are you going to be taking responsibility for that? And it comes back to what we started talking about, Duduzane. And I want to deal with this specifically before we go on to more messages. When I said to you, you've got to be careful about the language, because here you have a situation where a community like Phoenix is accused of being racist, and it's a community that I think the Zuma family has had a particular close relation with. I've, you know, covered events where your father attended prayer meetings in this area, and now to have this area burning like that, and Zahir Danbar of Phoenix saying, well, are you going to take responsibility for this?
Sahir Bhai, thank you very much for the question. I think from my side, responsibility is taken by someone who's found wanting. I can't stand up here and take responsibility for something that I have not done and that I've not been a part of. Once again, information that's out there, misinformation, misquoting, that's a different discussion, and we can debate it, and the jury will be out on that for eternity. What I'm saying is there's events that have happened, and from my side, I do not want people boiling this down and forget about my or whoever else's involvement. There are issues that exist in South Africa that people need to acknowledge. So I said acknowledgement is the first key. There's issues of inequality and issues of racism that exist not just in Phoenix, but many other places. But if we hone in on Phoenix, if we look at this event, it's 2021. There's been previous events of this nature that have happened in the early 90s, in 1985. Was I there? Was I part of inflammatory statements then? Was Jacob Zuma going to prison at that time? No. The point I'm trying to make is clearly there are issues, and we need to acknowledge the issues for what they are. We need to stop pointing fingers and blaming people. You're not going to blame me, and I can't take responsibility for it because I haven't been part of sending out messaging or parts of groupings that have been inciting violence. It's not what I do. I've enjoyed a long history as well, not just my father, with an Indian community of whichever denomination. I've traveled to India, I've lived in India, I've lived in Pakistan, you know, so people cannot come with this aspect that I'm anti-Indian and that sort of thing. I think that's a very unnecessary remark to make.
Yeah. Let's go to some messages. We'll go through a batch, and Duduzane, you can keep track of it, and you can, you know, we can respond and bash them about in a bit. Louis Pillay is saying, welcome. Firstly, how can you change South Africa in terms of diversity? So questions abound for you. Here's a question for Duduzane. Do you think things have changed since this mayhem? Looting hasn't stopped, and I've heard that there are still a lot of looting going on. So I did ask you about that, about the sentiment, about the way people have moved forward from it. More messages today on the program. We've got so much. And
keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, so here's somebody, Anusha Pillay, saying that Zuma's legal team should be fired. Contempt of any legal process is unlawful. The sentence may be harsh, but are these lawyers ignorant of the rule of law? The process was open at all times, and Mr. Zuma's defense was flawed. So she's just sharing that with you. Binad Amdhari says that... Well, she sent a post about Phoenix as well. Everybody's talking about Phoenix. And yeah, she did say if we could compare this to the 1985 riots. I think Dudizane did mention that, you know, he wasn't sending out tweets during that one. So from that perspective of responsibility, you need to be mindful of that. Some more messages today on the program.
I never sent out any tweets. Let's make it clear.
Roy Singh of Stanger says, we are unhappy to see our former president incarcerated. Jacob Zuma should have been given house arrest. I personally love to see your dad released. And that's from Roy Singh today on the program. Here's a question, a nice sharp one. If Dudizane is not on any social media platforms, then what platform did he release his videos? How did those videos come about, Dudizane?
All right, so I think the simple response to that is there's a lot of information that's out there that is attributed to me, and most of it would be via imagery. That would be videos that I may not, I'll get to that, but that I may not have put out deliberately myself. But there would have been photographs. I mean, I'm part of a lot of photo shoots. I take photographs with people who are happy to see me and show me love, and that's the least that I can do. If it's taking a photograph or putting out any messaging of any sort, I'm more than happy to do so. So you'll find videos of birthday messages, of wishes, of condolences, of support, making the rounds in social media, because once I conceptualize it and put it together for Evan, I'm talking about people that I may not know. People have made advances and said, look, so-and-so is going through this, or so-and-so is celebrating this, can you put out a video clip, because we'll feel that that'll surprise them and make their day. There's countless videos out there of that nature. And then, which leads me to the point of the videos that we're speaking about now, which is the very same medium. Just because I'm on social media doesn't mean that information cannot be disseminated via other platforms on social media.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people that are willing to put that messaging out in relation to who I am and how they view me.
Yeah. I'll go through it quickly, Dudizane. I'd really want to give everybody a chance to speak with you before I close up with some pertinent issues I want to talk to you about as well. Poverty, no reason to burn schools and disrupt food chains, says Pat. And
100% I agree.
And Dudizane, I know you spoke about, the sort of, in that video, one of the things was that you said people have and some people don't. And you alluded to some of our workers who don't have. And this is possibly a bigger problem South Africa needs to confront. Have you confronted it?
So the way I've been a businessman in my own right over many years, and I've dealt with those issues the best I can with the resources that I have, like many other people in the country have done so. I've been an employer in this country, so I've changed people's lives, and I'll continue to do so in the best way that I can. At this point in time, and I think what makes this precarious, as you mentioned earlier on, is we're sitting in the middle of a period of lockdown. So the level of job loss, which is a direct contributor to the unemployment rate, is through the roof. You have people sitting idly. You've got young people sitting idly. Youth unemployment sitting at 73%, 74%. You know very much when you travel through and you drive through certain rural areas and townships, there's a lot of idle minds sitting around. And when it comes time to causing destruction. And once again, I do not support destruction. I do not support vandalism and looting. I've never said that, and I will not say that. I denounce it wholeheartedly and completely. But what I'm saying is, if people, and I've said this before and I've come under scrutiny, but I'm being fair to the situation and realistic, where most people refuse to tell the truth. If people are left in a position where they're desperate and they don't have an option, they're going to protest and they're going to loot, which is exactly what's happened. Burning down of stores and cold storage facilities is unacceptable. Supply chain, destroying whatever supply chain infrastructure that's there is completely unacceptable, 100%. But all I'm saying is, if we continue to ignore the real issues, the issues of unemployment, we've seen it. You jump into a car in any city. I mean, in Durban, how many shanty towns, informal settlements do you see? You don't have to drive out into the city.
Yeah.
You find them in and around our neighborhoods.
Yeah. While we're here, Duduzane, your father ran this country for about 10 years and many thought he was going to change all of that. And he didn't, because people are looting now. So ultimately, a lot of fingers being pointed. And so when you reflect on that, that the Zuma administration has not done enough to stop South Africans from having so little that they take to the streets to loot, how do you reflect on that?
I reflect on it on this basis. Finger pointing and the blame game is exactly why we remain in this situation. And we're doing that once again. We've come out of the situation and all we're doing is hearing people pointing fingers. If you look at what's happening with law enforcement, press conferences, pointing fingers. We've got insurrection groups, we've got insurgency. Then at the next, it's no, it's not. It's a poverty issue. We've seen the way the different networks have reported it locally and internationally, but it's a blame game. So when you speak about the 10 years or so, the 9 years of his administration, you can't boil down South Africa's development into 9 years. And you can't, as a matter of fact, boil it down to the past 27 years. Have there been some mishaps? 100%. But South Africa is coming over a long period of time. The issue of poverty is not new to the new dispensation. They've tried to and preceding his presidency as well, they've tried to deal with issues of housing, RDP plans, and all sorts of social welfare grant systems put in place. And unfortunately, things have gone the way they've gone. You know, I can't speak on that behalf because I'm not a member of the government. But what I'm saying is we need to look at this and we need to say, how are we going to do things differently? And that speaks to what it is that I'm trying to be a part of. Things have been done in a certain way that, once again, I cannot be held accountable. How people view his presidency, there will be the positives, there will be the negatives. From my side, I cannot boil down the issues that stand today. To the past 10 years or to the past 20 years. It's a historic issue and we need to understand that.
Yeah, we'll move on to Duduzane, but it's hard here. I mean, everybody is saying Sarah, Salim, Ramba, Vernon Govender, we've got Nasima as well, all talking about looting and your role with that 7-second comment you said that was taken out of context. Yeah. It's still a recurring theme for a lot of people over here who are talking about the responsibility.
Let's touch upon that because I can see people are a bit confused on that. Right. And that's, I need to make this point because I keep speaking and I'm seeing the commentary, and I think it's quite interesting commentary coming through, and unfortunately so, that is painting me in a certain light in my views. So I was speaking about the proximity of people, right? And these very same people must actually open up their eyes if they haven't. You have Gulf estates, security estates on one side of the highway, and then directly opposite is an informal settlement. Right. And I'll use an example for reference. If you look at Sandton in Johannesburg, you have the Sandton side, Morningside and other places, Sandown. And then the other side directly is a township and informal settlement that has been built up there called Alexandra Township.
Yeah.
Which has been in existence since the 1940s. So you'll have a great grandmother that's lived in a 4-bedroom house, as they call it, or a shack. You have a grandmother that's lived in that very same shack. You have a mother that's lived in that shack.
Yeah.
And now you're in the period where you have that daughter living in that shack. Fourth generation of people living in poverty. Right. That's the one thing that we have. Directly across the road, these very same people go through, and we are all responsible for it, not just yourself, but myself as well. They work for us. They come in and trim our hedges. They bathe our kids. They clean our heated floors in some cases. And then in the evening, they go back to this very same shack that's got a leaking roof, there's no heat in the winter, and a paraffin lamp. Now, the point I'm trying to make to these people is, don't create an us-and-them situation because it suits you, and you're taking the higher moral ground, and you're turning a blind eye to the real issue. The issue is there. You can label them whatever you want to label them. Criminals, looters, protesters, it doesn't matter. They are there. We are giving them this title as we're speaking because they can hear us. They're hearing what we're saying, and we keep pushing them into a corner and saying, hey, it's you guys that are responsible for everything.
Yeah.
And we're not dealing with the real situation.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we think is going to happen?
Absolutely. Duduzane, I think we're going to, this entire conversation is veering to those comments and the issue of looting. I think I want to just, you know, and I know that's your sentiment and we've given it so much of respect and time here. I want to move on to other issues now. And I want to talk about your political ambitions, Duduzane, because many are talking, well, Duduzane, what are you about now? They're asking here on social media. What are your political ambitions? I mean, 2022 is coming up. It's a significant time for the ANC. And are you going to throw your name in the hat there at the ANC conference to possibly seek a far more senior position in the ANC or even run for ANC president?
Oh, that's exactly the plan. That's in motion. We putting our name in the hat for running for ANC president in 2022, December, and then national general elections in 2024. And the reason I say that is we are all allowed to dream. We're allowed to dream big. And I think more than a dream is a reality where, I mean, I'm not a politician. I'm not a career politician. I'm a businessman, and I've made this decision very late in my life where I didn't have to. I could have stayed far away from everything else. I've been living outside the country because, you know, and contrary to popular belief, I didn't run away. I had my bank account shut in 2015. So up until now, I don't exist on the financial system in South Africa. So I had to go apply my trade and survive elsewhere in the world. That's why I was living in Dubai, not because I was running away from anything. That's why I came back to face it. So I've made the decision to come to South Africa myself, and people can take it how they want to take it, to be a part of the solution. I'm not going to stay away. I haven't run away from anybody. I'm not running away from anything. We've got serious issues to deal with. I want to be part of dealing with those issues at the forefront.
Yeah.
I do not want to play the petty politics game. Yeah. I want to play the high-level game because I only understand playing a game from a position of power. That's the way I like
it. What's the plan to design it? Are you chair of a branch now in the ANC?
Yeah, that's I'm there. I'm going to walk through the steps that need to be to be walked
through. Have you done it yet?
No, it's there. Where we're sitting right now, there's BGMs, and they've been disrupted by the lockdown. So people being able to sit and decide on their branches and how that ward fits into the regional and provincial and national. There's conferences that are outstanding. It's been delayed because of the lockdown. But that's a process in place, and I'm confident that I'll get to wherever I need to get to. But the plan is we're going to do things differently, people. This thing of getting things done or expecting to get things done using the same mechanisms we've been using for the past many years, I'm not a part of that. We're here to do it differently, and we're here to pull everyone together.
You think you can do a better job than Cyril Ramaphosa? You said that you think he's going to be the end of the ANC.
Did I say that?
Well, that has been, that's the thing. I think this is the opportunity for you to clarify that.
I haven't said that. As a matter of fact, the way I look at it, I don't like pitting myself up against anybody. What people are doing, and he has an unenviable task. I mean, he's dealing with a lot of stuff. So I'm not sitting here making it seem like it's a walk in the park, what him or anyone else is trying to do.
What's the relation like? Because like I say, on social media, you put it against him.
No, that's people doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is very simple. And he's an elder. I've had interactions with him historically. I'm not saying that I know him well. That's not what I'm saying. He's a respectable gentleman. He's doing what he needs to do. I'm doing what I need to do. As a matter of fact, when it comes to competition, I'm not looking at anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not here to compete against people. I'm here to do something different. Because if you're saying I'm competing against someone, it means we're walking the same path. I'm walking a completely different path. We're going to do things differently. And right now, there's no one in that lane. That's the lane that I'm creating, because I believe that's the only way we're going to overturn and overhaul the situation through the political party, which is the ANC, that is due an overhaul, and through the government that needs a shakeup. And I think we've seen the results of the past few weeks with how government has dealt with these issues. And we've seen a cabinet reshuffle. And I think it's a no-brainer. Anyone can draw conclusions. And those conclusions are, we need some fresh young blood, people. We're here. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
This country's not going to move without. So if black people think this country's going to progress without white people, not going to happen.
Yeah.
If white people think this country's going to progress without black people, not going to happen. So similarly, Indian people, everyone needs to come to the party. Because, I mean, a lot of people, as they call the minority groups, Indian and some of them Afrikaans, Jewish, English, Portuguese, whatever, everyone wants to jump on a plane and leave. Now's not the time for that. Now is time to be a part of the solution.
And I think, when you look at the past, do you think your past is going to affect you? I mean, allegations of you being having unsaved relations with the Gupta family. And there's a question here that has come through from somebody specifically that I want to bring to your attention, is that do you agree that the Guptas should account to the State Capture Commission? And of course, you know, you've gone to that very commission, faced allegations of links with the Gupta family there. What are your thoughts then on that? That equation that the Gupta family has to you and your past and, you know, how that overshadows your future?
So my past, and I've had an interesting past business-wise, and of course they were my business partners, not any longer. We all make decisions. I've made my decision. I'm here in South Africa. I face whatever music I need to face. I've faced whatever challenges legally that I need to face. Everyone else, I cannot speak on their behalf. They can speak for themselves, and they will institute whatever defense mechanisms, legally speaking, that they need to. I can't advise him or my father or anyone else. They're going to do what they need to do. So from my side, when it comes to dealing with the matters, I've done so. People want to hold me accountable for stuff that I've walked through. I have not been found guilty of anything, so I don't think that's going to overshadow anything moving forward. And I think a lot of people have realized that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And then secondly, when it comes to me making my moves moving forward, I think people will realize there's a lot of misconceptions out there. People don't know me. They'll get to know me. There's a lot of information, negative information that's been put out there. But these sorts of engagements, which I appreciate you, your team, and Lotus FM for.
I'll just remind you.
To speak through these things.
I'll just remind you with a lot of the questions that have come through. Because there's volumes and volumes of them, and I've just tried to bunch them all together and create
that.
A narrative here. So even for you at home, so please don't think that we've not looked at your WhatsApps or individually read them out. It's helped us create a narrative here, and I think a big one that's coming through from WhatsApp is Phoenix, racial tension there, and it is something that you certainly are not proud of. The way forward there, because what has happened is that there seems to be a dichotomy of situations there. On one hand, you've got the loss of lives, and on one hand, you've got a community saying, well, nobody is listening to our side of the story.
Sure.
And what must happen here?
All right, so once again, I boil it down to acknowledgement. I think where we're at is people need to acknowledge the truths. Are people found wanting on both sides? 100%. Once again, criminality is criminality. Looting is looting. It's unacceptable. But we have dead looters today, and you have people that are sitting under police custody for shooting those looters. And this is the point I was trying to make, even with my messaging. As much as everyone wants to try and dissect it and boil it down to that segment of the 7 second clips, this is exactly what I'm saying. Because now you have those people that have passed away who were supposedly doing the wrong thing. How is it not being dealt the way that people are accusing me of it being dealt with? So that's the messaging I was trying to get across. Be careful, do it responsibly, because now we have a situation where you got people that have passed away. Now people all of a sudden are mum. So if you look at the situation in Phoenix and other places, we have to go and we have to be a part of the solution by visiting the different communities and engaging the community members, the business leaders, religious leaders of those parts. And that's something that will be done. Government is doing it from my side.
What are you going to do?
I'm doing what I need to do. I am on the ground. I've been to these communities. I'll keep going to these communities. I'm engaging those community members on both sides of the equation. And I think the underlying factor is everyone understands that justice needs to happen, but retribution is not the way. I've engaged with some of the affected parties. This is a fact. I'm not here to try and spotlight it, because it's not the way we operate. Just to understand the picture, I can only understand the picture once I've been on ground. And this is something that's happening. It's happening at a steady pace, because obviously the emotions are still high. The tensions are still, it's still a volatile situation.
Yeah.
So we all need to be careful with how it's dealt with.
Yeah, but I think we'll end on that point. Yeah. The volatile, and we need to be careful about the way
but
we.
But it will be resolved, and
the
I
way
believe,
we approach
believe,
that conversation.
We're going to bring people together.
Dudizani Zuma, we'll have to leave it there with you. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you
that
very much,
conversation, taking us into your understanding of the week that was and going forward. Look forward to more such.
Thank you very much, sir. Shukriya.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go. That was Dudizani Zuma, who's made the time for us. We leave the conversation there at Kimiwe, courtesy of the team, executive producer Selma Patel and Chanel Daniel. Thank you so much for the conversation and the messages you sent. Like I said, if I've not mentioned your name specifically, I've used every point you raised to create the flow and the narrative of the conversation. So couldn't have done it without you at home. Thanks so much for listening. From Itaresh, hey, have an awesome day.
Newsbreak, Lotus FM, powered by SABC News.